Reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Woo-hoo! Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday. It's finally Friday, March 18th, 2022. And we're going to talk about this verse, I hope, in just a minute, Pastor Jason. I know I'm kind of springing on you like I always do with really no notice, but this is a verse that I came across last night as I was in bed. I'll maybe share a little of that story of some of the scripture memory I've worked on over the years, but we'll come back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But I have a couple of little updates. So do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Give me the bad news first.
Okay, the bad news, and this is for everyone. On Wednesday, as I was out tending to our chickens, our many hens, the first mosquito landed on my arm and almost bit me. And I'm like, wait a minute, what are mosquitoes already doing out? But it was a little bit of a warmer day. And so all of us that are saying, oh, we can't wait for winter to be done and no more snow and the cold weather behind us. Hey, everyone, I just want you to know mosquitoes are around the corner. So I guess the good news is, yeah, it is getting warmer out. I don't know. It's Illinois. We still might get some more snow before the end of the month. But it is warming up and spring cleaning is starting. But it also does mean that mosquitoes are around the corner. And I was just amazed that it landed on me. And I'm like, that's a mosquito. And so he met his maker shortly after that. But I thought, what are mosquitoes already doing out? But I guess as it warms up, that's a reality. So I guess that's the bad news. There's good news. It's warming up. The bad news is when it warms up, mosquitoes come out. And by way of celebration, wow. It's been really exciting. In fact, in a little while, I'll be heading to Springfield. But yesterday, WLUJ, the family of stations, celebrated their 35th anniversary of broadcasting the Good News message of Jesus. So we've been announcing a lot of radio spots and little encouraging words to the listener for 35 years that the Lord has used the ministry of WLUJ. And I've scripted out a bunch of different announcements, and so those will continue to play over the next few weeks. But we're celebrating with WLUJ 35 years, and so I told some of the story of Dick Van Zandt raising it up and how Dick Van Zandt also raised up our radio ministry and how I continue to email and correspond with him always on a weekly basis, sometimes daily, because there's a lot of different things we're working on for power increases and the future growth of this ministry. And he's been volunteering and putting in a lot of time. And pretty soon here, I'll announce a couple great upgrades that the FCC has officially approved. So we're looking forward to the ministry work ahead of us. But WLUJ family of stations, 35 years on Thursday, and so we're excited about that and what God's doing. In fact, Tim and I have been working on a newsletter that'll be sent out soon to the WLUJ family of stations and an updated program guide. And The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, we have our official debut of that. That's going to be in April, April 23rd and April 24th. So you're going to hear from our almost 60 local cast members putting on a retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So that'll be also sent out in a mailing. I created a little kind of postcard size invitation for people to tune in. And we'll be handing those out at our grand opening open house at the end of this month on March 26th. So we're preparing for that and getting food. And I ordered some artwork the other day, so hopefully that's going to make it in time. And Martin Graphics, or now called Martin One Source, I submitted to them a photograph of the Singing Men of GNN at the state capitol and see if they could blow that up really big. And so I saw that yesterday. That looks really cool. And then they also did a picture of the Fisher Fuslin Tower with the new tower next to it. So that's been blown up like 30 inches by 40 inches, so that's kind of cool. And so hopefully we'll get that all framed and up. There's a lot of details for the grand opening open house to be finished and finalized, but it's going to be a great event. I'm working with Harriet Party Rentals to have some additional tables, little stations where people can kind of stand and talk. And I think I got approval yesterday from the mall for the Singing Men to put on a little mini concert outside. So Lord willing, if it doesn't rain, I think at 3:30 on March 26th, that the Singing Men will be outside right between us and Lens Crafters. There's a little area, and they'll be able to, I think, sing 5, 6, 7 songs. About a half hour, I think, at 3:30 on the 26th. We'll have that as a special feature. So that, I think, just came together yesterday, but still working out the food and giveaways and prizes. So everyone, you're invited March 26th, 1 to 4 p.m. for our grand opening open house of the Great News Media Center. And we have a big sign, a beautiful sign right out in front. We're right between Lens Crafters and Old Navy on the east side of Marketplace Mall in Champaign. It's on North Neal Street. And we have our own private outdoor entrance. So if you're in the mall, unless you go down this special hallway, you will never find us. Mm-hmm. It's like a door that's kind of for employees only. But really, you enter our new studios and office space from the outside, the entrance between Lens Crafters and Old Navy. And there's a lot of parking there. And some of you, if we have a lot of people, can park just in the Macy's parking lot and just walk in. We're right on that first floor. And there's a garden area in front, and the Singing Men can sing out there. And I think they're seating for about 50 or 60 people, and then I have 50 folding chairs, so we can set those out too. And I think it's going to be at 3:30 where the Singing Men will present, but come on out, just say hi, stop by, and look at our new digs, as they say. Maybe I'll record you doing a radio announcement, and you can see what God's doing, and it'll be fun to have people. We'll have some snacks and some food. I'm working on Hickory River or something, maybe small little sandwiches, and other snacks and treats, but there'll be prizes and giveaways. So that's happening on Saturday, March 26th. So what is that like? Oh, well, a week from tomorrow, so 8 days away. Yeah. So I hope a bunch of people will come out, even if it's just for a few minutes to say hi. I do have a lot of ministry resources. Karen Harrison contacted In Touch and Focus on the Family and Ron Hutchcraft, a lot of the ministries, and they've sent books or CDs or other things. So we'll have some fun resources to give away, and I have some gift cards and other things to raffle off. So a free event, 1 to 4 p.m., on Saturday, March 26th, a week from tomorrow. Okay, so those are all the announcements. Hey, be ready for this warm weather and mosquitoes. So maybe there's just
coming.
Yeah, they're coming. But I started off with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. And I thought, what an encouraging verse for us all, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be just mindful of this verse and the importance of recognizing we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, those of us that follow Jesus, a people belonging to God. And then the why, okay, if that's all true, then what? Well, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. What's your gut feelings or thoughts on this, just it being sprung on you? But isn't this a great verse?
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful verse. In fact, it's one of the verses that I write down in my journals. I have a couple of verses that I always like to keep. And this is one that I always like, but I always write it down from the Message translation. And the Message translation says, but you are the ones, chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work, and speak out for him, to tell others of the, this is the part I love, of the night and day difference he has made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted.
Huh.
And so I love how the message fleshes this out in a very simple way, because I think that when I read this, I always write down three words pertaining to this verse, verses 9 through 10, and that is acceptable, valuable, and capable.
Hmm.
And you know, when I read this, Mark, it says, you are a chosen one, chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, chosen, and I'm adding some words in here, I'm paraphrasing now, chosen to be God's instrument to do God's work, to speak for God, to bring God's blessing into the world, to tell people about his night and day difference that happened through you because of him. And so it's not that we can make ourselves acceptable. It's that God makes us acceptable. We are a chosen people. He has chosen us. You know, so much of our lives, I really didn't notice this in myself, but being a dad, I noticed this even more, is that we really seek acceptance. And for me, I can kind of miss the forest for the trees, but with my kids, I see it a lot. You know, they come up and they show me things, or they come up and they tell me things that are going on. And what I know, what I've noticed is that if they come up and they tell me something and I'm like, yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, they kind of like, you see them deflate a little bit, and then they kind of go away. But when they come up and they show you something and you're like, wow, that's really great. You know, you kind of see them puff up a little bit like, oh, you know, my father, he likes what I'm doing. He's accepting what I'm doing. I think that we seek acceptance everywhere we go. For some of us, it's acceptance comes in the form of an applause. For some of us, acceptance comes in the form of good job. You know, when we were kids, it was the sticker that you would get on the top of your paper when you turned it in, you know, that you had done a good job. We want and we seek acceptance everywhere that we go. It raises our self-esteem. It makes us feel good that we're actually valuable and doing something good in the world. You know, that our life matters. You know, it's kind of one of those root questions. Does my life even matter? You know, and when I think about this verse right away, you know, when the way it begins and it says, but you are the ones chosen by God, I always think about, and I'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit here. I'll pull the curtain back so you can see the wizard at work. But when I was a kid, I was not very athletic. I was not a kid who, you know, kind of shined on the ball field. And so when it came time, you know, to play a game or like kickball or bait, whatever it was, I was not chosen first. In fact, sometimes it was like, oh, I guess we'll take him. You know, because I was not going to make a huge difference to the winning or the losing. In fact, sometimes I might actually help you lose because of my inability or my inaction, or sometimes it was just that I just didn't care. I was like, I don't even care. I'm just doing this to hang out with my buddies. But with that, as a kid, it comes some anxiety, like, gosh, why aren't I ever chosen? I wish I was like that guy. You know, we had a guy that we hung around with, Mike, and Mike was athletic, and Mike was, you know, played football, and he was the quarterback. And, man, he got chosen first every time. I mean, people would argue over who got to pick first so they could pick Mike. And at some point, you're just like, gosh, I want to be like Mike. I want to, you know, I want to be picked first like him. And yet this verse says, but you're the ones chosen by God, which means that there's a million line tie for first, that we're all being chosen first by God through Jesus Christ, that God has chosen us, that we are acceptable, that when God looks upon us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he sees us as acceptable and he chooses us to do his work, to be his instruments. And so for any of us who might kind of struggle with, you know, being chosen last or feeling like we're, if we're acceptable or if we're valuable, God's word says that we are, that we've been chosen, and we've been chosen to a high calling, to be his instruments, to speak for him in the world, to bring his blessing in the world, to be a holy people, that God has chosen us.
You know, I'm thinking this is almost needing to be the default setting for all of us. And you and I, we prayed this before the program. Isn't it amazing that God chose us, that God desired us, that God created us, that he gave us the mindset to think of him, to praise him, to be aware of him? It's just such a great gift, but it's because he's chosen us, and we all need to, it has to be our default setting when we feel lonely or hurting or there's heartache or uncertainty or confusion. yes, those things are normal and some are healthy to work through, but the default should be you're chosen. You've been created by God. He loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, and that brings me to the second point that I have. You know, the first one is that you are acceptable. The second one is that you're valuable. And there's somebody right now I know who's listening to this program, and I'm speaking to you. That you woke up today and you didn't feel like you have much worth. You didn't feel like you have much value. You didn't feel like there's anything that you're giving to the world that changes it in any way. Hmm. Well, I want to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell, because you are valuable. You are worthwhile. And God made you uniquely you to bring a different color and a different feel and a different smile into the world. And so I don't want people to confuse this. You have great value. I'm not talking about net worth. I'm talking about self-worth. And to answer my question, how much do you think you're worth? For God so loved the world that he sent his son so that he could draw you near to him, so that he could cover that abyss that we couldn't cover on our own, that he could bridge that gap that we could not bridge on ourselves, you know, so that as Romans 8 says, he can call us sons and daughters, that we can come so near to him that we can call him Abba, Father. For those who are maybe struggling this morning with how much am I worth, you're worth so much that Jesus died for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Romans says people would scarcely die for a righteous man, but for an unrighteous man, nobody would do that. And yet Jesus died for all of us. He came and died for the people who we would perceive as being the most valued people and the people we would perceive as being the most unvalued people. Jesus came and he died for all. He came to die for those who live in the highest, you know, houses and those who live at the lowest to the ground. Jesus came and he died for every single one of us. Jesus didn't stop and go, well, I mean, let me look at you and let me assess your value. Let me assess your worth. No. He said, you're worth so much that I am willing to die for you. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that you've been bought and paid for by Christ, that you belong to him. And so it's not just that you have great value and great worth, but he bought and he paid for you by his blood, and you belong to him. He claimed you as his own. And so when you go, am I loved? Yes, I'm loved by Jesus. Am I valued? Yes, I'm valued by Jesus. Am I chosen? Yes, you're chosen by God through Jesus. That sometimes we allow the human voices around us to overwhelm what the divine voice says. Human voices that go, well, I mean, you know, maybe you're good enough if you just try harder. And Jesus is like, stop trying so hard. I already did it all. You know, just live with this awareness that you belong to me, that you have great value. And then out of that, so you're acceptable, you're valuable. And then you're capable, because it says in this verse that you're a royal priesthood. God doesn't call you to do something that he doesn't think you can do. God calls you to do something that he empowers you to do. You know, that's sometimes the bane of us as Christians, is we think that to fulfill God's calling, we have to somehow, oh, I have to get some more Bible studies going. I have to do a little bit more word studies. I have to read my Bible more. And then at some point, I'm going to be good enough to be able to do the thing that God calls me to do.
Hmm.
No. God equips the called. It's God who equips you. Sometimes I'm concerned that we want to be equipped in our own strength to do what God has called us, and then we don't really end up doing what God called us to do because we're only doing it in our own strength and our own power. The Apostle Paul says that his greatest strength was when he admitted his greatest weakness.
Yeah.
And so we are capable, but we're capable because God has given us that capability. It says here that God has called us to be a holy people. Well, how can we be holy? Well, because we have the Holy Spirit. God has called us to be his instruments to do his work. Well, how can we be his instruments and do his work? Well, by the Holy Spirit, to speak out for him, which means that I have to use more words that the Spirit gives me than the words that I want to use.
Mm-hmm.
I have to lean into spiritual reactions, not in human and fleshly reactions. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to tell others the night and day difference that he has made, that we went from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted, that there is truly a change in our lives that was wrought by only the Spirit of God, that by faith you have been saved. It's not your doing. It's the gift of God. It's mm-hmm. the Spirit at work. And so you're capable of doing immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. But here's the thing. You're not going to do it. God's going to do it through you. You're going to be the beneficiary of being a part of it. You know, it's sort of like I like to say to people all the time, when God's really working powerfully in your life, it's like take your kid to work day. And you're not taking your kid to work today. You're the kid being taken to work. God's like, come on. You know what I mean? How many of us maybe just need to wake up and instead of going, how can I impress my Heavenly Father today, saying, Lord, what adventure are you going to take me on today? Lord, where are you going to take me and what are you going to do through me? And I just want to be a willing recipient to the things that you want to do. You know, I know that it's been a good day, Mark, with God when I come home and I am like what I call Holy Spirit tired. You know, where I come home and I'm just like, man, I'm tired because God was just working through me. And there's a different kind of fatigue that comes when God is working through you than when you're working in your own strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that kind of fatigue doesn't come with frustration or anxiety or striving. It comes with a sense of, like, settled peace and, like, just being poured out, like the Apostle Paul says, and being poured out so that God can pour back into you. And so you are, as we read this verse, you're chosen ones by God. You're acceptable by what he has done and by who he is. And you are valuable because you have been chosen. God wouldn't choose you and call you to do something if you weren't able to actually accomplish it. Jesus didn't tell Peter to get out of the boat because he wanted to watch him sink. He told him to get out of the boat because he believed he could walk on the water. And it was only when Peter began to exercise his own strength, when Peter began to walk in his own strength by looking at the wind and the waves and becoming fearful, that he began to sink. But even in the midst of him sinking, what happens? God reaches out and grabs a hold of him and lifts him back up and says, listen, you are acceptable and you are valuable and you are capable. You can do immeasurably more than you understand through my work in you. And so I think that we need to remember this. And one of the ways that we need to remember this, I always tell people, if ever you're struggling, if ever you're at this impasse, if ever you're wondering, just remember your salvation. Remember who you once were and who you are now. And that's what this verse says, at least in Eugene Peterson's translation. It says in the end of verse 9 and verse 10, the night and day difference he made for you from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. That there has been a real change, and that change was not a change you made. In fact, you probably tried to make that change for years. But that change happened only when you actually said, Lord, I need you to make the change. I can't make it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I've tried.
Listening friend, you are a chosen person. And because of that fact that God loves you and cares for you, you should be about declaring the praises of him, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got the title of the program, Jason. It's going to be on the website soon. Acceptable, Valuable, Capable, God's Thoughts About You. That's my title for the day. Well, everyone, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.